Good morning, church.
Morning. You know, each time I come on after Pastor Ruth, I usually do not prepare what I will say for the first few lines because I'm always prepared to respond to what she's going to say about me. Now we are great friends. All right, it's good to come back to the pulpit and to the church this morning. This is especially special today because I also realized this morning that this is the last time I'm flying back specially just to preach. Because the next time I'm preaching, I'm already back for good to Singapore.
Yeah.
Thank you for the warm reception. Thank you for the encouragement. You're being very courteous. All right. So in preparation, actually, for a change of season, personally, and for my family, I've been spending quite a bit of time recently reflecting. In fact, I'm still on this journey, spending the next few months reflecting on various things in my life. And one big part of my reflection is my reflection about our church, about LSBC. So I've been spending some time actually reflecting on a few things, including, I asked myself, what is the distinct anointing and the distinct calling of the Lord upon LSBC? So I've been praying and asking God for clarity on what are some of the distinct strengths and that we have as a church, and more importantly, what is the distinct calling that we should continue to dedicate ourselves to. So other than our calling and anointing for community pastoring and care for the poor and needy, I really felt that the Lord has given LSBC a very distinct anointing in praise and worship. You know, even when we were a small church many years back and did not have very experienced musicians and worship leaders, we always enjoyed the presence of the Lord during our worship services. You know, we can't explain it. You know, we are not very skilled in the way we prepare and the way we play the music, but you know, there is always a distinct presence of the Lord, and I could only credit it to the grace of the Lord to grace us with His presence and the anointing of the Lord in this aspect, you know, for the church. And nowadays, you know, each time that I come back to LSBC for worship services, I'm always glad to be able to enter deeply into the presence of God during our praise and worship segment. So there is a distinct anointing, you know, of God upon our worship team, and we should really thank God for that. We should really also appreciate our worship team for working so hard week after week to lead us into the presence of God. You know, this privilege of praising God in His holy presence should never be taken for granted. However, the worship team is only one reason for this special anointing. The other important part of this anointing is the worshipers. That is all of us. See, our attitude towards praising God is important. The worship team stands ready to lead us in worship each week, but how ready are we to praise and worship God each week? Each year, we have our worship focus week. So I'm not sharing about worship today. However, in my recent reflection, I'm convinced that as the people of God, having a deep desire and a readiness to praise God is important. Praising God is not just a weekly occurrence when we gather together as a church family. It should be a lifestyle. Praising God is not just through songs and worship, but a value that we must develop. I'm also talking about having a readiness and a desire to praise God in our day-to-day lives. Having an attitude, having a spirit, and having a heart of praise towards God is important because it shapes many other values that we need to develop in the Lord as well, which I will share with you later. Praising God will nurture a thankful heart within us towards God. Right? So remembering the reasons to praise God will help us remember the goodness of God in our lives. So this morning, I will lead you in a study of Psalm 103 to look at the various reasons that we should praise God for. And I pray that as we reflect on all these reasons that the psalmist presented to us, it will then inspire us. It will evoke a heart of praise from within us, not just for today, but for us to orientate our lives in such a way in day to day as we remember all these reasons, it should then create, you know, a heart of gratitude, grow that heart of gratitude and grow that spirit of worship and praise unto the Lord. So I've entitled the sermon today as "Praise the Lord, O my soul," lifting the words from the opening of Psalm 103, which we'll read together right now. Psalm 103, if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn the Bible with me. I'm reading from the NIV translation. It's going to be on the screen so that you can follow as well. Psalm 103 of David. I say, "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear Him, and His righteousness with their children's children." Verse 18, "with those who keep His covenant and remember to obey His precepts. The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you His angels, you mighty ones who do His bidding, who obey His word. Praise the Lord, all His heavenly hosts, you His servants who do His will. Praise the Lord, all His works, everywhere in His dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul." You know, the author of this psalm was David. It was a psalm of exuberant praise towards God. In the psalm, he listed several reasons that God is worthy of his exuberant praise. You know, as we study this psalm, may we reflect on these reasons and let them evoke a deep desire in us to praise God too. The psalm is broadly segmented into five different parts, and they form the five things that I want to share with you this morning. All right, we're going to go verse to verse, but I want you to notice that there are five different segments of this psalm. Firstly, in verse 1, I want to share with you, praising God is a decision. Praising God is a choice that we have to make. I'll elaborate on that later. Then from verse 2 to verse 7, David was challenging us to praise God for His benefits. What are some of the benefits that the Lord has bestowed upon His people, upon David, that inspire him to praise God? We will look at that. Then we move on to verses 8 to 12, when David calls on us to praise God for His character. We do not just praise God for what He has done and has given us. We should remember the character of God and be in awe of that, and for that we should praise God. Then let's look at then verses 13 to 18, when David reminds us that actually God is also our understanding Father. As we remember that, we should not just feel loved by God, it should evoke praise within us. And finally, in the last three verses of the psalm, David challenges us to praise God simply because He is our glorious King. Let's jump into it in a bit, and let's turn to the Lord in a word of prayer, shall we? Father God, we want to thank You for the privilege of being able to come into Your presence to worship You. What a wonderful privilege, Father, to be found in the presence of our holy God. We thank You that, Lord, indeed You have always blessed us with the anointing for praise and worship in this church. And more importantly, You have always graced us with Your presence, that each week as we come and gather together as a people, Father, we enjoy this special presence of Yours, Father, even in our midst, God. Father, even this morning, Lord, we ask that, Lord, you come and teach us. May your word inspire us to grow this heart of praise unto you as we remember all the things that you have done for us and how good you are to each one of us. May you challenge us, Father, to live lives that is in constant praise unto you. For we pray all this in the Lord's most precious name, and let all God's people say, Amen. Verse 1 says, Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. David started the psalm with an instruction to himself. He instructed his soul to praise the Lord. He instructed his inmost being to bless God's holy name. See, we are familiar with this declaration as many psalms start with this declaration, Bless the Lord, O my soul. But how many of us actually notice that when David started the psalm with this declaration, it is more than just a declaration, it is actually an instruction to self. It is not just a declaration that God is good, but it is actually an instruction to himself, to his soul, to praise the Lord. That's why he said, Praise the Lord, O my soul. The Hebrew word for soul, which was used in this psalm, is the word nephesh. It refers to the inner life, the emotions, and the will of a person. It is the part of the person that thinks, that chooses, and feels. Therefore, in this instruction to self, David was instructing himself to praise God with all of his emotions and will. He knew that it was not just enough to praise God with his flesh. He did not just want to go through the motions in expressing praise unto the Lord. He was instructing his inner self to praise God with his emotions. And this is something that we ought to learn. Genuine praise to the Lord means nothing if we just go through the motion and say the right things. We usually, you know, declare praise the Lord when we hear or witness something that is encouraging and that the Lord has done. But there is praise the Lord. And there is praise the Lord. You get what I'm trying to say? There's a difference between declaring that truly God is deserving of our praise and that of a cursory mention, you know, on saying the right things to say praise the Lord. You must know the difference between the two. See, the soul also refers to our will. Praising God can be a deliberate decision and not just a spontaneous response each time. There might be times when our circumstances and emotions might not be ready for spontaneous praise, but we can still make a decision to praise God. And this is an important truth because it is not realistic to expect that we are always ready for spontaneous praise. But instructing the soul to praise the Lord can also refer to the exercising of our will to praise God. There'll be times that, you know, your emotions may not be ready to want to praise the Lord, but we can still exercise the will to praise God. Because praising God should not be according to how we feel, but is according to who God is and whether He's deserving of praise. So praising God, it's a decision. And it's a decision that we must make and can make. See, there's another thing that I want to mention about this instruction to self to praise the Lord. The Hebrew word nephesh can be translated beyond the reference to just the soul. Actually, nephesh also refers to the whole living person or whole life. Hence, this instruction that David gave to himself could also refer to his desire to praise the Lord with his entire being. It's not just his emotions, not just his mind, but my entire being. That is why he used the word inmost being. In the King James translation of this verse, it's translated, in inmost being, it's being translated as all that is within me. It means let all that is within me praise the Lord. He's not just instructing his mind, he's not just instructing his emotion, but he's instructing his all, his entire being, to praise the Lord. See, it is what is praising the Lord with all that is within us. And it is difficult to describe this with words, but I think we kind of know what it means. There's a difference between singing, you know, dancing my soul, and with dancing my soul. You get what I'm trying to say? It's not just about singing the words. It is not just agreeing with our mind, with our words. It is about using our entire being to mean it, to praise the Lord. That is why we see on different occasions in the Bible that David worshiped and praised God with his entire being. He danced before the Lord with all his might. He broke out in exuberant praise and disregarded the commands from Michal and the other onlookers. David was instructing his nafesh, his entire being, to praise the Lord. David made the decision to praise God with his nafesh. And you also realize that David started verse 2 with the same words, or praise the Lord, my soul. Not just in verse 1, when he started the psalm to say, praise the Lord, my soul, he started verse 2 again, praise the Lord, my soul. Why did David do that? You see, in any writing, whenever the author repeats what he says in succession, it is an emphasis and also a reminder. Not just an emphasis, but also a reminder. David knows that in his flesh, he can process his instruction to himself with his mind. But he needed to process the instruction with his heart and his inmost being, which is why he repeated the instruction to himself. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord, my soul. It is an instruction to go deep within us, to find it in us to praise the Lord. David knows that, you know, we humans can be forgetful and cursory. See, there's a difference when your wife say, go wash the dishes, and when she repeats the words, go wash the dishes. What's the difference? The first call, we act blur. When she repeats the call, I tell you, you better run to the kitchen, right? So there is an emphasis, there's a reminder. You know, when we instruct our children, same thing, go do this, what do? They act blur. When we repeat the call, especially when we call them by the full name, Melvin, Gan Chi Weng, go and do it. What will happen? They better go. They move. This is what David is trying to illustrate to us. There's a need for us to be reminded, to be inspired deep within us to find, to praise God. Likewise, praising God is an instruction to self, in as much as it is so, it's a decision that we have to make. We know we ought to praise God, but we need that repeated emphasis to see the importance of the call to praise God and to grow this attitude of praise. With this, let us move on to understand why it is so compelling to praise our Lord. And David gave the instructions, you know, gave reasons for his exuberant praise to the Lord. And we're going to look at that. Let's first then move on to our next point, that we ought to praise God for his benefits. We see that in verses 2 to 7. We should praise God for his benefits. In verse 2, he says, praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Verses 3 to 7 then listed these benefits from the Lord to us, and those benefits should inspire us to praise God. See, it is important to understand this. We praise God not to pursue God's benefits, but receiving his benefits should evoke praise from us towards him. You hear me? We praise God not because we want to pursue God's benefits. That's not what the verse means. But David is saying when we remember the benefits of the Lord in our lives, it should evoke praise from us towards him. David then listed several benefits from the Lord that evoked his praise towards God. And let us look at them. But you know, these are things that we are all very well acquainted with. But I want to encourage us that as we reflect on all these benefits of the Lord, let us not belittle these blessings from the Lord just because we have been familiar that the Lord has blessed us with all these things and with these truths. Let these truths remind us that God is constantly worthy of our praise. What are some of these benefits? Verse 3a, it says, God is a God who forgives all our sins. David chose to praise God because he's a God who forgives our sins. It's a truth that we all know very well. But it is very important that we internalize how deep that blessing, how great that benefit is in our lives. God did not just forgive our sinful past. God has rescued us from eternal damnation, given us the opportunity of a fulfilling life, you know, for God here on earth, and given us a hope of a glorious eternal future in heaven. When David says God forgives our sins, it is more than just forgiving the mistake that you have just made. God is a God who has forgiven our past, given us what we have now, a fulfilling life on earth, and a future with Him where we'll be without sin. That is how great that blessing is. And for that, we need to praise God. You know, there's one thing that we ought to note as well. You know, in listing of all these benefits from verses 2 to 7, David actually used the present tense instead of the past tense. He used the present tense instead of the past tense. David did not say, praise the Lord because He forgave you of your sins. He said, God forgives all your sins. God is worthy of our praise not just because He forgave us of our sins. We praise God because He's also a God who is willing to forgive us when we sin. You see, using the present tense, it's not just a reminder that God is a God of the past, that He has given us that benefit, but He's also a God who will continue to bless you, to forgive you, until the day in heaven when we will enjoy the greatest blessings of being with God. When David used the present tense instead of past tense, he's reminding us that God is the God of the past, the current, and the future, and God is the God who is deserving our praise in the past, now, and forevermore. This is what it means. Look at verse 3b, second benefit of the Lord upon our lives. God is the God who heals all our diseases. David says in verse 3b that God is the God who heals all your diseases. David declared that he chose to praise God because our God is the God who heals. See, for those of us who have received healing from the Lord, we should always remember the deliverance of the Lord. We should be grateful, and it should evoke our praise towards God when we remember it. But again, there's a future tone to this verse. God heals our diseases. Now, when we are afflicted with diseases, we must remember that we have a God whom we can go before, and this God is able to heal our diseases. We also then look forward to the day in heaven when there is no more diseases. I know that some of us, or our beloved ones, who did not receive supernatural healing from the Lord despite our prayers. How are we then to praise God? I will address this later. So I encourage you to hold your thoughts first, but I want you to remember that our God is a God who can be trusted, and there will be a day in heaven when we will all be free of all diseases. Let's move on to verse 4a. Verse 4a tells us that David reminds us that our God redeems our lives from the pit. In the NKJV translation, use the words, God is a God who redeems your life from destruction. Some of our lives here on earth were indeed headed towards destruction, if not for God's intervention. I was one of them. I always imagined how my life would have turned out if I have not found God in my teenage years. I'm quite certain it will not be what it is now, especially when I was at the brink of trouble with the law, with the police, you know, with drugs and hooliganism, you know. On the occasions when I remember or share my testimony, I'm always grateful to God. And almost every time, you know, that grateful heart will evoke a spontaneous praise of God within me. Because I'm truly grateful that God has rescued me from the pit, rescued me from the road to destruction. So when we remember how God rescued us, you know, it ought to evoke praise from within us. You know, I know many of you are good boys and girls. You know, you don't, you know, your life was not headed towards destruction like mine. But, you know, just remember the times when God delivered you in a situation. And remembering that should evoke praise, constant praise from us towards God. Praise the Lord, O my soul, for He is a God who redeems us from destruction. You still with me? Yeah? Let's move on. Verse 4b also reminds us that God is worthy of our praise because He crowns us with love and compassion. We are encouraged to praise God because God is a God of love and compassion. No matter what we have gone through in life or are going through, there will be enough evidence in our lives to demonstrate the love and compassion of God towards us. God's love and compassion can be felt through His loving presence. God's love and compassion can also be experienced through the people whom He sends into our lives. You know, a few days ago, when someone I cared very much about was referred to the hospital urgently for medical investigation. You know, her blood count was low enough to warrant an immediate blood transfusion. That's why she was referred to the hospital. And the doctors suddenly suspected that there could be a more serious underlying issue, such as internal hemorrhage. You know, this person is a Christian, but unchurched for many years because of past offenses. You know, when she notified me of the situation, I was honestly very affected because she's someone I care for very deeply. So I text her a prayer and asked her to trust God with me because I told her I know that God loves her deeply and the Lord shall exercise compassion over her. In all these years when she remained out of church, I could feel God's love and compassion over her life because God has been sending people into her life to pursue her. It's almost like God has been pursuing her back, you know, into the faith. And I know that is God's love and compassion for her. You know, a few hours after she texted me, she again then texted me to tell me that they did another blood count at the hospital. And not only is her blood count and in the new test above the level whereby she doesn't need a blood transfusion, she said the blood count is at the highest level in the last 2 years. You know, from having a suspected internal hemorrhage, I believe the Lord healed her, you know, through that text prayer. And it's a power of prayer. But more importantly, it demonstrated God's love and compassion over her. And I'm praying that, you know, through the experience, God will continue to pursue her back into the faith and giving her life back to the Lord and dedicate her life back to the Lord Jesus. You know, I believe that God is still pursuing her because our God is a God of love and compassion. And now let us put this section all together a little bit. Verses 2 to 4 speaks about redemption. David was reminding us we need to remember the redemptive work of God. And when we do so, it must evoke praise within us. The truth is that sometimes we can take the redemptive work of God in our lives for granted. We all remember that Jesus died for us. We all remember that God is willing to forgive us. But you know, sometimes we, as humans, as Christians even, we can take this truth for granted. And today, I want us to remember truly what it means to be redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only He has lifted us from eternal damnation, He has given us what we have now, and He has given us a future hope and destiny in heaven. That is the redemptive work of God. You remember how great this work of the Lord is for us. Let us be grateful and let us constantly evoke a spirit of praise within us. In fact, David used the words, crowned you with compassion and love in verse 4b. It truly reminds us that we've been redeemed from slavery to royalty. That's what it means to be crowned by the Lord. From slavery to royalty. That is the span of God's work, redemptive work in our life. What kind of response it should we evoke within us? Verse 5. God is also a God who satisfies our desires with good things. And for that, we should praise God. This is an interesting one. What does it mean when it says God satisfies our desire with good things so that our youth is renewed? See, the New King James Translation is more precise with this verse. And in fact, I was quite surprised with the translation. The New King James Version, it says, you know, God is a God who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like eagles. This verse is actually referring to good food that renew our youth. You know, well, we can relate to this verse very differently. For the health conscious, this will mean that God provide you with nutritious and healthy food so that your health is good and your youth is renewed like the eagles. But if you are like me, I feel my youth renewed each time I have a plate of Hong Ling Chap Kway Tiao, you know, or Simpang Bedok Chap Ma Chor Mee, and my youth, you know, is renewed. You know, whatever your specific interpretation is, God is a God who provides us with good food and we can derive great joy from it. And jokes aside, you know, the AMPC translation says, you know, the Lord satisfies your mouth, your necessity and desire as your personal age and situation with food so that your youth renewed is like the eagles, strong, overcoming and soaring. This is a more measured interpretation of the verse. You know, it talks about food of necessity, but also food of desire. So, cannot be unwise with your food. Cannot do char kway teow all the time. But for our food, let's praise God. Turn to your neighbor. I know you're very serious this morning. Say, I thank God for XXX. You imagine what food you want to eat for lunch, and turn to your neighbor and say, I thank God for char kway teow. I thank God for what? Frog leg porridge or whatever you say that, okay? Praise the Lord, oh my soul, because God satisfies us with good food. You see, interestingly, David mentioned our youth being renewed. What does that mean? Growing younger? You know, you being renewed is not reversing in your age, so it's not growing younger. It speaks of vitality. We can grow older in age, but our vitality can be renewed. David is reminding us that God is the God, you know, who is constantly able to renew our vitality. And David used the imagery of the eagle. And this is interesting. An older eagle can grow weaker in strength, and naturally so, but can continue to soar to great heights. How? It does so through its experience to catch the wind and to soar. So it is not just about our food, it is about catching the wind. This is a beautiful imagery because this is how praise can renew our youth. Praise helps us catch the wind of the Holy Spirit and we can be revitalized when we do so. Praise draws the anointing of the Holy Spirit into our lives. It focuses us on God who can renew us, to lift us up. You know, our youth is renewed when we do so. We can grow older and have more stresses in life. But when we focus on praising God for what He has done in our lives, the Holy Spirit will lift us beyond our stresses. In whatever situation we are in, we can choose to praise God. And when we do so, we then invite the Holy Spirit to lift us. Do you see this beautiful imagery? Let us tap into the wind of the Holy Spirit by choosing an attitude and a heart of praise. And let the Lord lift us and to renew us. Verse 6. God is a God who executes righteousness and justice. And for that, we should praise God. I quote the New King James translation of verse 6. It says, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. You know, whether you are the one who have personally witnessed God's intervention in your situation of injustice or have witnessed others receiving justice, you know, God is deserving of our praise. Again, if you have experienced injustice and have yet to experience God's intervention, I will address that shortly. Number 7, the last benefit listed by David in verse 7. We should praise God because God is the God who leads us. God is the God who leads us. Verse 7, he says, he made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. In verse 7, David recounted how God led Moses and the people of Israel. And David is alluding to the fact that recounting the guidance and the leadership of God is a reason to praise God. God may not have led us out of Egypt, you know, like how the Israelites had, but, you know, the Lord surely had led us in our life thus far. Led us in difficult situations. Led us in times when we ask God to give us wisdom, to do something. Remember that and choose to praise this Lord. Now, before I move on to the next point, let me address a few burning questions that some of us might have. Question one. What if we did not enjoy many of these benefits that David listed? Maybe you have not been sick. Maybe you have not experienced the need to be rescued from destruction like me. Does that mean that we have fewer reasons to praise God? Well, my response to you is this. You should praise God even more because you have not been sick, because your life has not experienced dangerous situations that require the dramatic intervention of God. In your mundane life, praise God because God has given you a smooth and mundane life. You see that? Should not see that as the lesser of a reason to praise God. The more we should praise God because the Lord has blessed us with the normal. And even more so, we should remember above all these things, we experience the saving grace of God and the forgiveness of God of our sins. For these things, you have many reasons to be grateful and to praise God. Question two. What if I or my loved ones were sick or in situations that required miraculous intervention from God, but we did not receive it? Are these reasons not to praise God or even to resent God? I want to be honest and say that I have no good answer for you, or will I try to belittle your reaction? It is definitely tough to instruct ourselves to praise God in these situations. Especially if you're still going through them. But we can choose to recall the times that God had intervened. We can choose to recall the other blessings in our lives. We can choose to thank God for the most important gifts in our lives, and that is eternal hope. We can choose to trust God in His sovereignty, you know, when we could not fully understand the ways of God. This is when we can choose to praise God, even when it is difficult to. This is when we can exercise our choice, our will, to praise God with a hope of what God can do and who God is in our lives. I pray that the Lord will help you remember His goodness, and this will help you choose praise instead of resentment. Let me summarize this segment of God's benefits. Earlier, I mentioned that, you know, when we develop an attitude of praise in our lives, we also nurture various values. Let me start and build on this chart that I'm showing you. In each of the segments, I'm going to show you that actually there are other attributes of that praise actually nurture. In Psalm 103, verse 2 to 7, in this segment, we focus on praising God for His benefits. We remember God's benefits and how it should inspire us to praise. But you know, when we praise God and we remember God's benefits in our life and we praise God, it also nurtures the value of gratitude towards God. And it is an important value for us to grow. So I'm asking all of us, as we remember God's benefits in our lives, choose praise. Because when we choose praise and remembering God's benefits in our life, it also nurtures gratitude. Praise births gratitude. Praise births and nurtures the value of gratitude in our lives towards God. And as we remember what He has done for us, we learn to be grateful when we choose to praise God and not to take these benefits for granted. With this, let me move on to my next point. We do not just praise God for His benefits. We should also praise God for His character. We see that in verses 8 to 12. Let us look at various character traits of God that deserves our praise. And as we reflect on these character traits of God, they should also inspire us to praise God. What are some of these character traits that David listed? Let's look at verse 8a. When David reminds us that God is a compassionate God and a gracious God. We discussed this earlier, so hence I shall not belabor this point. But David was reminding himself again that God is compassionate and gracious. This is especially, you know, since David had enjoyed the great compassion of God in his life during various trying episodes in his life. He was hunted for his life. He was betrayed by his son. While it was unclear if Psalms 103 was written before or after all these episodes, David reminded himself that this is the character of God, that He is compassionate. He is gracious towards His children and people. We should also remember that and let it evoke praise from us. Number two, God is to be praised because God is slow to anger. We see that in verse 8b and verse 9b. This is a beautiful and important character trait of God that we ought to remember. See, we tend to sin against God because of our sinful nature, even after we become the children of God. As we look around the happenings all over the world, we witness the evil and the lawlessness of men. In Singapore, we should thank God that we do not witness the great atrocity that some of the other countries experience in the world. But we must remember that there is great atrocities in the world. Yet God is patient and willing to give mankind as much time as possible to turn to Him. He is patient for His people to repent. This is because our God is slow to anger. But this does not mean that God trivializes justice. God holds us to justice. But because He's slow to anger, He gives people time to acknowledge their mistakes and to repent. Even when God is angry with His people for what they have done, but because He's a just God, verse 9b tells us that God will not harbor His anger forever. Verse 10 also tells us that God does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. See, Wendy often felt that I give too much leeway to Sarah. This is what Ruth is saying. You know, I'm talking about my daughter now again, all right? Don't observe my face. Focus on what I'm saying. Wendy always felt that I give too much leeway to my daughter and I do not correct her enough. And that's why she concluded that I'm always the good cop, she's the bad cop, my daughter loves me more. But it is not because I do not value justice. I'm just slow to anger, understand? I give her the chance to realize her mistake and at an opportune time then to correct her and to teach her. This is especially when I look at you and say, give me chance, you know. I'm not passive. I'm learning the value of being slow to anger. Correct or not? Yeah. Yeah, after I say this, I pray that she also grow in the value of slow to anger. See, justice and being slow to anger are not mutually exclusive. This beautiful and important character trait of God deserves our praise. God is a God of justice, but God is also a God who is slow to anger. And that's why God is compassionate to us. Next, we should praise God because our God is a God who is abounding in love. See that in verse 8b and 11. Verse 11, it says, "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him." We've discussed this in our earlier point too, so I'm not going to belabor it, but God is love. And God abounds in His love towards us. And verse 11 reminds us how great God's love is for us. You know, we can't even see the great vastness of our universe. And the Bible is telling us God's love is as high as the heavens from the earth. is unfathomable, and that is how great God's love is for us. And for that, we ought to praise God. First off, David reminds us that God is a God who forgives our sins. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Nobody could pin how far east and how far west it is. Basically, you know, the psalmist is reminding us, you know, God's forgiveness for us is limitless. And for that, we should praise God for being a God of love, God of compassion, God of grace, God who is slow to anger and always willing to forgive. And that is why God deserves our praise. Praise the Lord, O my soul, because our God is God of all these character attributes. And in this segment, we focus on praising God because of His character. When we do so, what other value do we develop when we choose to praise God for His character? We then grow and nurture confidence in God. When we focus on God's character and praise God for His character, for who He is, it will also grow a confidence in us towards God. So when we choose to praise God for His character, we are also nurturing our confidence in God. We will grow in our trust in a God who is able and willing to protect us and to lead us. Are you still with me? Coming to an end, right? Point four. We do not just praise God for His benefits, for His character. David is challenging us to praise God also because He's our understanding Father. We see that from verses 13 to 18. Verse 14 tells us that God knows that we are how we are formed and that we are dust. Verse 15 reminds us that God reminds us that we are fallible mortals. He knows our limitations. Verse 15 and 16 also reminds us that, you know, whatever we achieve in life is temporary and will fade away over time. But how does God view us even though we have such great limitations? Verse 17 reminds us that God's love for us is from everlasting to everlasting because we are His children. Verse 18 then reminds us that our God is faithful and He will keep His covenant with us. Our God is our understanding Father who knows our limitations, who knows, you know, that we are dust, but yet He sees us as His children. The Lord sees us with, you know, not only sees us with great limitations, He knows that we have great limitations, but He looks at us as His covenanted people. That is the beautiful truth. God is all-powerful. At the same time, He's our understanding Father who knows our limitations. And with our limitations, instead of getting impatient with us, God understands us and keeps His covenant to care for us and to protect us. And for these reasons, He's deserving of our praise. When we praise God for being our understanding Father, what value we also develop. We develop in our assurance of God's care. We not only have a powerful God, it's not just a confidence in a powerful God, we have assurance of God's care and love over us because He's our understanding Father. And upon this assurance, we can then come confidently before the Lord to praise God. Let me move on to the last point I will share with you today. And just invite, it's a very short point, so I will invite the worship team to just come and prepare to minister to us. David encouraged us to praise God for His benefits, to praise God for who He is, His character, and to praise Him for being our understanding Father. And lastly, He's challenging us, or rather He was challenging Himself and challenging us to praise God because He is also our glorious King. David reminded himself that God is deserving of His praise because He is the glorious King. Verse 19, it says, "The Lord has established His throne in heaven and His kingdom rules over all." God is our loving Father, but we must never forget that God is also our glorious King, whose throne is in heaven. His kingdom cannot compare with our human royal kingdoms, because God's kingdom rules over all. Verse 20 reminds us that even the heavenly hosts are called to praise God. In verse 21, they encourage us, His creation, to join the heavenly hosts to praise Him, simply because our God is the glorious King who deserves all praises from all His creation, heavenly hosts, and His creation here on earth, to jointly join our voices in praise to this glorious King. If you notice in each of the calls to praise God from verses 20 to 21, David called on the angels and also the mortals to praise God. He calls on the angels and the mighty ones, his people here on earth. He calls in verse 21 on the heavenly host and God's servant to jointly praise God. He's calling on all creation to give praise to the glorious King who deserves our praise and honor. And when we praise God for being the glorious King, what value also do we nurture? When we praise God because God is the glorious King, we also grow in awe of God. We grow in awe of God. Many of us remember God as a loving Father. We have no issues relating to that, but I think sometimes we need to grow in our awe of God. We need to remember how glorious our King is. And if we truly appreciate how glorious our God is, how great this King is, we'll be in awe of God. You don't even need to choose whether you want to praise Him, because all that is within us will want to praise Him because we are in awe of our God, our King. So let us grow in awareness of the glory of God. Let us grow in awe of this glorious King. And we do so, and all that is within us praise His holy name. You can put aside your notes. We'll conclude today's sermon in praise and worship unto the Lord. There's no altar call, but I think our response is when we rise to our feet in a short while and give praise unto our Lord. We're reminded today that there are many reasons to praise God. We praise God for His benefits. We praise God for His character. We praise God for being an understanding Father. We praise God because He's a glorious King. And circling back to the first point, we all have a decision to make if we will praise God. It is a choice. David instructed his soul and all that is within him to praise God. It is not dependent on how he felt, nor dependent on his circumstances. He simply instructed his soul to praise God simply because God deserves it. Let us catch His spirit and grow in our attitude to praise God. And I'm not just talking about praising God each week as we gather in church. We need to learn to be more conscious of the reasons that we should praise God for in our daily lives. And as we sensitize ourselves to these reasons to praise God, we will then see God's handiwork and fingerprints all over our lives, all over His creation, all that we see. And this is then how we grow in gratitude, in confidence, and in awe of God. So let us grow in this heart of praise. Let us grow in this attitude of praise. And when we look around us each day, each morning, each afternoon, each night, even before we sleep, we look at the blessings that the Lord has given unto us. We remember who God is. Always start the day, end the day, throughout the day, choose to praise God. This is what I'm asking us to do. Develop that attitude of praise all the time. Because when we focus on praising God, it will take our eyes off everything else that then burden us. It's not that these things don't remain. It will remain that. But you will switch our eyes from the issue to the God who is all able and deserving of our praise. So let's develop this value of praising the Lord at all times. So praise the Lord O my soul, and let all that is within us praise His holy name. Amen. Shall we just rise and let's worship the Lord forever and let's praise the Lord.
Privilege to praise you, Lord. And Father, we ask that God, you will enable us to keep on singing praises to you in good times, in bad times. Every single day, may our hearts be filled with praise. And then, Lord, we will praise you, O God, every single day of our lives, O Lord. Father, we thank you that you have given us this access to praise you, O God. And so, Father, I pray that, Lord, may you help us, O God, to remember to bless you at all times, O God. And Lord, so as we come to the end of the service, we ask for your blessings, the blessings of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit to be upon us. Lord, may your presence be with us and go with us. Lord, we pray that even in the coming week, O God, Lord, your Holy Spirit will continue to lead us and direct us. We thank you for your presence with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.